Ophira Eisenberg here. All month long, Ask Me Another is celebrating women in comedy. So in keeping with the theme, this week we're showcasing our episode with actor Rose Byrne, who you know and love from movies like Bridesmaids, Neighbors, and so much more. Enjoy.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia, Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Wow! How awesome! Very nice to have you. Welcome, welcome. So right now we have four brilliant contestants. They are waiting backstage, laying out their clothes, getting ready for the first day of trivia. And one of them will be our big winner. And it is also, it's the end of summer, Jonathan.
It is the end of summer, thank goodness.
I know. How was the last couple weeks of your summer?
Fine. It's getting to that time where I'm super excited for the kids to go back to school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have two kids.
Two kids. And it's the thing about having two kids is that when you are on vacation, it is sort of the worst time.
It's a lot
more relaxing when you can actually just go to work like a normal person.
Yes, the word vacation, I have one child, and everyone's like, did you go on a vacation? I was like, no, it wasn't a vacation. No, that's a trip.
That's a trip.
That's a trip.
A trip and a half.
That's a trip and a half.
Yeah.
So where did you go, though?
We went to Disneyland.
What part of Disneyland did you like?
The older I get, the less capable I am of dealing with motion sickness. So, you know, we went on a few rides. And then to take a little break, we went on the Winnie the Pooh ride, which is one of these dark rides on a car that just sort of goes through a thing. But the car kind of rocks on its chassis like it's a boat. And by the end of it, I was like, I gotta sit down. So it was really the Winnie the Pooh ride that knocked me out.
Aww. You were poo-pooed by the Winnie the Pooh ride.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I have one child. My child is two, so we're not at that level yet. I know my life. I don't really have the resources. Like, I could offer two kids crappy lives, or I could give my one child an incredible, mediocre life. That's how I see it. Our special guest is actress Rose Byrne. Yeah. You know her from Bridesmaids, the TV show Damages, and she stars in a new film called Juliet Naked. I haven't seen the film yet, but I hope at the end she gets a coat. She's been in so many of my favorite things. Bridesmaids. I mean, I just loved that movie. I was crazy about that movie. I love the character she played, Helen, the nemesis bridesmaid. So brilliant. And like, just what a great embodiment of a comedic character. We have tons of cool games in the show. We're going to talk about celebrities, literature. We have a game about regional slang. I love regional slang, area-specific vernacular. I read about this, that there's a town in Arizona named Surprise. And when you throw a surprise party there, when you jump out, you have to go, didn't see this coming. I did a deep lunge for you people. Come on. That is some public radio athleticism right there. All right, let's meet some contestants and play some games, everybody. Our first game is about regional slang. For example, Americans call it mayonnaise, but in Canada, we call it terror sauce. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Jerrianne Gall. You are an internet entrepreneur, and now you're here.
Yes,
hi.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Happy to have you. So when you ring in, we're going to hear this. Magical. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Your opponent is Nikki Palumbo. You're a comedy writer at Google. Hello.
Yes, hi.
How are you? When you ring in, we're going to hear this. Jerrianne and Nikki, whoever has more points after two games will move on to our final round. So this is a guessing game called It's an Albany Expression. In this game, we're going to give you an expression found in the Dictionary of American Regional English. It is compiled and maintained by researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. These are regional slang words from the past or present. And you're just going to tell us the word's definition, but don't worry, we're going to give you multiple choices. Here we go. The next time you're in New Hampshire, make sure you steer clear of that crom. Is that A, men who touch your lower back without permission? B, food waste? Or C, raw flax-based granola? Nikki.
C.
Good guess, but it is incorrect.
Cool.
Sorry. Jerrianne, can you steal?
Food waste.
That is the correct answer, yeah. Crumb is food waste. Men who touch your lower back without permission are usually called Gary or Charles. If you're on a ridey bob in Kentucky, are you A, playing on a seesaw, B, sitting in a motorcycle sidecar, or C, grabbing apples with your mouth while riding on a moving tractor? Jerrianne.
I like the seesaw idea.
That is correct. Yeah, it's a seesaw. A ridey bob.
When someone in Massachusetts mentions diddly-dees, they're talking about A, pine needles, B, a Cambridge Club drug, or C, a catchy song you can't remember the words to. Jerrianne.
That's got to be C, the song.
I'm sorry, it is not C. What? You really like the letter C. Nikki, do you know the answer?
If I had to guess, A.
You do have to guess, and yes, that is the answer. If you encounter a table tapper in North Carolina, you are A, on a very boring date, B, listening to an amateur preacher, or C, attending a seance. Jerrianne.
I'm going to go with the preacher.
Yes, listening to an amateur preacher. That's right.
In Washington, D.C., what is a slug? A, the last person to vote in Congress. B, a hitchhiking commuter who helps drivers meet carpool lane requirements. Or C, literally anyone or anything in Washington, D.C. Nikki.
B?
Yes, that is exactly what slugs are. Yeah. It's a thing. Slugging is also practiced in Houston and San Francisco. Were you aware of the slugging
Very
in San Francisco?
Very aware of it. Yeah, there's informal spots that are like, if you're in the know, you just wait on that corner and then cars will just pull over and pick you up and it's totally safe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like pre-Uber pool kind of,
Absolutely. Renegade.
Very good. That was a very close game. Jerrianne, you are in the lead. Well done. Our next game is called Celebrities on Celebrities. Did you know that Madonna is actually just the Olsen twins stacked on top of each other in a trench coat? Let's check in with our contestants. Jerrianne, you completed NASA astronaut training at the Kennedy Space Center?
Oh, yes. Not just astronaut training, but I wore a dress.
Wow. And you passed, yes?
Oh, I finished first in my class. I don't want to brag, but I will. Yes. So I mentioned that I was wearing a dress. Because when I walk in, all the boys are like, who's this girl? You're in the wrong room, lady. And so I was the only one who did not throw up in G-force training. And I was like, who wears the pants now, boys?
Yeah.
Look at me. Yeah.
So, you want to go into space or take the astronaut thing any further?
Obviously. Who doesn't, right?
All right.
I'll see you on Mars, guys. Come on.
Nikki, you write jokes for Google Assistant, which is an AI assistant like Siri or Alexa.
Yeah, that's a job people have.
Yeah, that's an amazing job.
Yeah, so when you're heckling them, they're coming from a human being. So
right, it's a human being.
It hurts
programmed.
My feelings. Oh. Yeah.
So what kind of stuff are you writing?
Mostly dad jokes. Because that's what I like.
Yeah.
The future is now, and we get to shape it. And I'm so sorry.
Can you give me an example of a line that you're pretty happy that you pushed through?
Sure. What a lot of people seem to say to their Google Assistant is, are you ignoring me? Because we haven't registered a command or something.
Yeah.
And we just kind of wait a second or two. And what? Just kidding. I could never ignore you.
That's good. All right, this is an audio quiz called Celebrities on Celebrities. We're going to play you a clip of a celebrity doing an impression of another celebrity. Each clue is worth up to 2 points. Jerrianne, stay in the lead, and you are in the final round. Nikki, you need to get more points, or you'll have to watch a Bachelorette contestant's Instagram story.
Oh, no. I'll try harder.
Yeah. I know, the harshest thing we've actually ever said to anyone on this show. Here we go. In this Late Late Show clip, the actress who played Mrs. Witch in A Wrinkle in Time imitates the actress who played Mrs. What's-It.
Y'all, I have a helicopter going to pick us up right in front of the yard, right there. We're going to go right in front of the yard. Then we're going to go to the top of the mountain, then we're going to hike, y'all. Then we're going to get on a boat, y'all. And then y'all.
Jerianne.
Miss Oprah Winfrey.
That is good for one point. Do you want to say the other person?
Reese Witherspoon?
That's right. Oprah Winfrey is impersonating Reese Witherspoon. This clip is from Inside the Actor's Studio. The actor who plays Phil in The Hangover imitates his co-star from The Wedding Crashers.
Your hair is like, what do you have to do to maintain your hair? Is keep rubbing it all the time.
Nikki.
Was that Bradley Cooper?
Yes, that is Bradley Cooper. Who is he impersonating?
That sounded like Walken, Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that's right. A Christopher Walken impression is a SAG actor's requirement to get into the guild, I believe. It used to be Jack Nicholson, and then they changed it. There was an uproar. This clip is from an online interview with the artist who sang Hotline Bling, imitating the artist who sang A Millie.
Yeah, you know, I mean, chilling, man. You know, I just been like vibing out, you know, Carter Ford store. That's it, yeah.
Nikki.
Drake.
Yes.
Lil Weezy.
That is correct. In this Jimmy Fallon clip, the artist who sang Bang Bang imitates a famous Canadian singer.
Well, how sweet and strange finding you can change, but I'm whatever.
Nikki.
Ariana Grande.
Yes.
Imitating Celine Dion.
You got that. Well done. So after two games, Nikki, congratulations. You are moving on to the final round. Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Nikki in our final round, and I'll talk to Rose Byrne, who is nominated for an Emmy and a Golden Globe for her role in the TV series Damages. And I'll ask her, are you and Glenn close? I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. Support for Ask Me Another and the following message comes from Nature's Way, maker of herbal supplements from ashwagandha to turmeric. Nature's Way believes nature knows best. This is why since 1969 they've sought out the best herbs the earth has to give, and why they travel the world to places where herbs grow best to ensure they always deliver the purest botanicals possible. Find out more today at naturesway.com. We'd like to thank our sponsor who brings you this message, Discover, who alerts you if they find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. Discover believes that there are some things that you just need to know. It's just another way Discover looks out for you, not just your account. And best of all, social security alerts are free for Discover card members. All you have to do is sign up online. Learn more at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
We're back with a new season of Rough Translation.
Yeah.
And this time, we are following people who break the rules.
I mean, lying is part of the business.
In my opinion, the best revenge against ISIS is to be humane.
Am I supposed to punch her?
Yeah.
New episodes every other Wednesday. Subscribe.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. You know her from the TV series Damages, many movies, including Bridesmaids, and she stars in the new film Juliet Naked. Please welcome Rose Byrne. Welcome to Ask Me Another.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. This is a really great atmosphere, guys. I feel like I'm in like Melbourne or Sydney, you know. Like,
yeah.
It's very Aussie, this sort of format. Everyone drinking and
That's
NPR
it. That's
and no, it's good.
Nice. You're originally from Sydney, Australia.
I am from Sydney. Mm-hmm.
Now you live in Brooklyn.
That's it.
It's very exciting. Your parents have retired to a garlic farm in Tasmania.
Is that the truth?
Okay. Is that like a thing? Like if I said that to someone in Australia,
oh, no.
Would they be like, oh, I get it?
Yeah. It's not like a quintessentially like Australian move.
Yeah.
No. But it's very remote, beautiful part of the world. Probably a good place to go when the end comes.
Okay. So when you were a little kid, it was your older sister who said to your parents when you were 8 years old that you should study acting.
Yeah. I was very shy.
Oh.
I was very shy, and I think they thought it would help me come out of my shell, perhaps. So I was taken off to drama class and, you know, loved it and became, you know, all my
found
friends
your voice.
Were there and found my voice, and here I am today in Brooklyn with you on stage. So I could have gone either way, you know, but I loved it. Yeah, I was became my thing.
You got
yeah,
into it.
I got
and
into it.
You got roles as a teenager, a preteen.
I did some fine work in Australia. Which no one will ever see.
But you did the Sandra Bernhardt movie called Dallas Doll.
I did, that... not to be confused with Debbie Does Dallas.
Right.
Another fine film.
But at 15, you're also cast as a lead in a soap opera called Echo Point.
Phenomenal show. Billy, my character was called.
Nice.
Yeah. Going down the tuck shop, all of that kind of talk, going to the surf club. Australia has soap operas, which are different to the ones here. They're only a half an hour format, and it's a lot of like tan people on the beach, going to the surf club.
So at 15 years old, if you're the lead of a soap opera, your life must have totally changed.
It did. I took myself very seriously.
Yeah.
And my family quickly reminded me, in the very Australian way, to not take myself so seriously. And but yeah, it was fun. It didn't last long though. It was only on air for about 3 months. So my dreams came crashing down very fast. And I was back at high school.
Back at high school.
Like, yeah. What happened to hair and makeup? What happened to my...
Yeah, I didn't have... I have to finish high school?
Exactly. To get back
so
to school.
So you moved to America in 2000s, early 2000s?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I was doing the classic Aussie thing of like the back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Non-committal.
Like, yeah, the coming in for a few months, trying to get a job, going back to Australia, staying with mum and dad.
So we know you from a lot of dramas, but then, more recently, we know you from so many comedies. Was there a particular role or moment that you had that you were like, I want to lean into the comedic side of my acting career?
I had a tiny role in Marie Antoinette, Sofia Coppola's movie, many years ago, playing Duchess de Polignac, who was a real figure in the story of Marie Antoinette. And she was very bubbly and sort of the comic relief. That was kind of the first taste. And I was like, this was interesting, fun and interesting. And we did a lot of improv on that. And then I auditioned for Nick Stoller for Get Him to the Greek, which was
this
super funny satire on, you know, rock stars and what have you. And I played a super trashy, wasted pop star who was Russell Brand's ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very fun. And from that I got Bridesmaids. And yeah, so I had a great break from Judd Apatow and Nick Stoller.
I just loved Bridesmaids.
Thank you.
And your role, of course, I feel like makes it as the nemesis. You know, it looks like it was very fun to play from the audience point of view.
Very fun. Fun, excellent group of people, great material, obviously. And I do remember Melissa McCarthy just like me going, who is this incredible? And obviously she was so established from Gilmore Girls and all her other work, but she really, as we know, blew up after that. And she's, yeah.
Yeah, but then you starred opposite her.
Yeah, in Spy.
Which is hilarious as well.
Yeah, that was so funny.
And there is something I think particularly funny about seeing Rose Byrne deliver these like vulgar, filthy lines of dialogue after. Why? Is that the natural you? Is that who you are?
Well, I am Australian.
You're right. So, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So it is within your soul.
Yeah.
So your new film, this is an adaptation of a Nick Hornby novel, Juliet Naked, and you aggressively went after this role.
I did.
Why?
I did. I had read the novel in 2009 when it came out, and I just loved it. It was a really bittersweet. It's that specific Nick Hornby tone, you know, like the Arrested Development, someone not growing up, you know, regretfulness, and it's such a gift, the characters he gives you as an actor, so to then put them into a screenplay and try to bring it to life. So yeah, when I heard they were doing the movie, I was like, please, can I meet on it? Can I read?
You had read the book before?
Yeah, I had read the book before.
And what did you think of your character?
I thought she was intriguing. I thought that I loved her breaking all the rules and taking all these risks and acting out, and is this kind of uptight, buttoned up, very British lady who then goes against all her rules, you know. Did you ever watch Seinfeld?
Sure.
Well, do you remember when George does the opposite of everything he usually does?
Yes.
And he has great success and he starts working for the Yankees and like gets a hot girlfriend. That's kind of like Annie. Like she's like starts doing all the opposite of all this stuff. She doesn't have that as great a success as George Costanza, but it's sort of that kind of idea.
And when you were filming this, you were not only pregnant while filming this,
Preggers.
But you also, congratulations.
Fully.
So you also had like some bizarre blender accident with your hand.
Put my finger in a blender.
Why did you? How? How did? What happened that you put your hand in a blender?
What a shame that was.
Yeah, you still have the hand. The hand's okay.
I was making muffins at like 9 p.m. at night, as you do. Found this recipe, like kind of complicated ginger apple recipe, like. Like, this is a great idea. I'll make muffins and we can eat them in the morning and then at the emergency room, just holding my finger together like that, just like
and then
sad.
Someone walks by and they're like, I loved you in Star Wars.
Exactly. Yeah. There was one. That's right. Dorme. Mm-hmm. Hey.
All right. Rosa, are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah? You're up for it? All right. Rose, you starred in the movie Neighbours. In Australia, Neighbours was released under a different title, Bad Neighbours, to avoid confusion with a long-running Australian soap opera called Neighbours. So in this quiz, I'm going to give you the American title of a movie that was changed when it was released in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you're just going to tell me what the title was changed to in Australia.
Okay.
It is multiple choice, though.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay, great.
And if you do well enough, Tara Woolfolk from Hokesson, Delaware, is going to win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Oh. Wow.
Okay. Was the 2004 Jennifer Garner comedy 13 Going on 30 changed to A, Growing Up Fast, B, Womanhood Now, or C, Suddenly 30?
Suddenly 30?
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Oh, I'm so glad it wasn't the other two. That's terrible.
I kind of want to run something called Womanhood Now!
Wow.
I don't know what, some sort of campaign.
Wow.
We don't know why 13 going on 30 had to be changed.
Yeah, I don't get that either. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Suddenly 30.
Suddenly 30.
Suddenly 30. Was the classic 1980 Leslie Nielsen spoof Airplane called A, Airplane Mode, B, Flying High, or C, Mile High Police Squad?
Flying High.
Flying High.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What was the Australian title for Fever Pitch, the 2005 romantic comedy starring Drew Barrymore, Jimmy Fallon, and the Boston Red Sox? These are like hard to actually bring over. Was it A, The Perfect Catch, B, Smoochin' in the Outfield, or C, Third Base?
Oh, I think it's the first one.
Yeah, yeah, it's The Perfect Catch. All right, here's your last clue.
Okay.
How about Saving Silverman? This was a 2001 comedy starring Jason Biggs, Jack Black, and Amanda Peet. Was it renamed Saving Silver Person, B, Flight of the Man Children, or C, Evil Woman?
They're all terrible.
I know.
They're terrible.
And one of them's real.
I mean, it can't be Saving Silver Person, can it?
No.
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 It's got to be Evil Woman, right?
It was Evil Woman.
Yeah.
Evil Woman.
Wow.
And from what we can gather, it wasn't doing well at the American box office, so it was just a way to like dial it up so people were like, Evil Woman, let's go see that.
Wow. It was a comedy, you said?
It was a comedy. Yeah, you did great.
Okay.
So congratulations, Rose. You and Tara Woolfolk both won Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes. Julia Naked is in theaters now. Give it up one more time for Rose Byrne. Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Next up, we'll play a game called Literary Spoonerisms. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Tanaja Jordan. You work as a fundraising consultant for nonprofits. Hello.
Hello. It's nice to be here.
When you ring in, we'll hear this. So, Tanaja, you started your own company thanks to some prize money that you won?
Yes. I won a fellowship in 2017, and I got $30,000 to start an early-stage social enterprise business, and so I started my consultancy.
That's pretty amazing.
I did.
And how's it going?
I enjoy it. I really, really enjoy it. I share an office with my cats. They're not necessarily always the best office mates. They like to meow on conference calls that they're not invited to.
Yep.
But, you know, I think my clients sometimes like the cats more than me sometimes.
Oh, that there's no way. That's just an extra bonus. Your opponent is Maura Foley. You're a data scientist in Chicago. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Hi. So when you ring in, we're going to hear this. Maura, you build predictive models that tell different companies who's going to buy their products.
Yes, I do that.
All right, that's pretty interesting. That's
It's actually like really boring.
What?
Somebody wrote in Harvard Business Review that data science is the sexiest job of the 21st century.
I love that you pulled out the old article from Harvard Business Review that we've all read.
Oh no, my mother, Ellen Foley, figured it out and pulled it out for me.
Oh yeah. Oh really? Your mom sent you this article?
Oh yes. That and clippings of house listings from my hometown.
Remember, Tanaja and Maura, whoever has the most points after two games will move on to our final round. Let's go to your first game. Tanaja, what's the best utensil?
It's definitely the fork. Just because it's the most versatile. You can slice with it, you can poke with it and pick things up, and then you have the ability to sort of lift like from the underside as well. So it's just got all of the basic food navigating fundamentals in the fork.
Yeah. Maura, what do you think is the best utensil?
So mine is offset spatula because I make a lot of cakes and like nothing makes you feel fancier than like spinning a cake on a pedestal and like really flattening out that icing.
Yeah.
You know, the world is chaos, but this cake is beautiful.
Okay, so we've got an incredibly difficult word game for you. It's spoonerisms, or as I like to call them, word centaurs. Jonathan Colton, what is a spoonerism?
A spoonerism is where you switch the beginnings of two words. So, for example, jelly beans becomes belly jeans.
Is not my lover.
That's right.
Anyway, in this game, we're asking you to actually perform the most public radio task in the history of public radio. You're going to be coming up with spoonerisms of famous authors' first and last names.
For example, if we gave the clue, this Enlightenment philosopher wrote two treatises of government, and he's an athlete who loves yard sports, you would answer, lawn jock. So, you take the philosopher John Locke, switch the beginning sounds of the first and last name, and you get lawn jock.
Cool.
And as you can see in this example, don't worry about the spelling, it's just the way the words sound.
Let's go. This author of The Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons dropped a muffin. Tanaja.
The author is Dan Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Brandown would be the...
Yeah, what?
With the spoonerism.
Yeah. Yes. Brandown. A conspiracy, clearly.
Yeah. This To Kill a Mockingbird author likes to get out her giggles with some live-action role-play. Tanaja.
The author is Harper Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Larper he.
Larper he, that's right.
First he wrote The Naked and the Dead and Executioner's Song. Then he joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and learned how to pound with a hammer. Tanaja.
The author is Norman Mailer.
Mm-hmm.
Mormon Nailer.
Yeah.
I I like big books and I cannot lie.
This author of Fahrenheit 451 can tell you where to find the most awesome, small, edible fruits in the San Francisco area. Maura.
Okay, it's Ray Bradbury.
Uh-huh.
And so it would be Bay Radbury?
Bay Radbury is correct.
Although I believe the Radisberries are now in Oakland. But.
Yeah. Solidarity.
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 No.
There is altogether too much good content coming from the contestant area tonight.
All right, strap in. The author of David Copperfield and A Christmas Carol narrates all of the poultry-related chapters in the William Faulkner book, As I Lay Dying. Don't be so quick, Tanaja. It's embarrassing. Yes, Tanaja.
Charles Dickens. Darl's Chickens.
Yes!
Wowzers.
Because as we all know, Darl is one of the narrators from As I Lay Dying.
Mm-hmm. We all know that.
We all know that.
This children's author of Beezus and Ramona feels mighty witty after drinking a couple of Michelob Ultras. Maura.
It's Beverly Cleary.
Mm-hmm.
Cleverly Beery?
Cleverly Beery, you got it.
All right, this is your last clue. This author of Moby Dick has a terrible secret. He's a half man, half fish from the underworld. Tanaja.
Herman Melville is the author.
Yes.
Merman Hellville.
Yes! Merman Hellville. That was an amazing gate. I mean, come on, you guys are... And congratulations, Tanaja. You are currently in the lead. If you rolled your eyes that whole last game yelling, got it, know it, know it, then you should be a contestant on our show. Go to amatickets.org. Coming up, we have a brand new game called Fact Bag. I'll be pulling up facts from a bag. So stay tuned. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for this podcast comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Join us on Thursday, May 2nd, for a live taping of Ask Me Another at the Bell House, helping us get that much closer to our goal of interviewing the entire cast of Orange is the New Black. We'll be joined by actor Taylor Schilling. Tickets and more information at amatickets.org.
Hey there, it's Joshua Johnson, the host of 1A. On Fridays, we make sense of the world. It's your chance to catch up on the week's top stories and prepare for what's next. Check out the Friday News Roundup in the 1A podcast on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, we met our contestants, Tanaja and Maura. Soon they'll play a game about unconventional forms of communication. You know, communication is, of course, the most important part of any relationship. And my favorite is when my partner leaves me a little love notes, like in the subject line of his Venmo transaction. You know, just, sorry about your window. I love you. Let's check in with our contestants. So, Tanaja, you are a talented and experimental cook.
I am.
Experimental.
I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is your specialty that is maybe a little more out there?
I make really off-the-wall macaroni and cheeses.
All right, let's talk about
and
this.
And so one of my favorite, I make a Philly cheesesteak baked macaroni and cheese, which includes like a red pepper, green pepper, steakums, and then three different cheeses, like provolone, some Gouda for the melt, and then like another white cheese, ideally a Swiss. And then like there's one, I'm beta testing a new mac and cheese right now. It's Parmesan cheese with peas, bacon bits, and shrimp. And I'm just trying to like throw that together.
It's like a carbonara.
Yeah, it's like a carbonara baked mac and cheese, exactly.
That sounds amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Maura, you are a talented baker.
Yes.
Okay, so, and you are baking some artisanal breads.
Yes, and so basically family history of diabetes. So the cookies were unsustainable thing to bake, and sourdough bread takes a very long time. So it's like kind of an artificial throttle on producing things that give you diabetes, basically. And when you meet like another sourdough person in the wild, it's like, yas, queen. What's your hydration point? I'm 75, if anyone. Okay.
Let's go to your next game. Tanaja, what is the weirdest way you've ever sent a message to someone?
I have texted someone 15 seconds of audio of me explaining a text message that I had previously sent. Just in case you weren't sure from what I said to you that I wrote to you, I figured I would explain it in my own natural voice so that you can hear the inflections and see that I wasn't really angry, just slightly annoyed.
Just miffed.
I wanted that to transfer.
And how did that go over?
They responded with text, like, okay.
Right.
Maura, what's the weirdest way you've ever sent a message?
I'm like that Midwestern lady in the office that's like, we're being too rough on the coffee maker. So I like to write notes from the perspective of the coffee maker.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I worked in a lab in college and people would leave the door to the ice machine open. And so I would like have to put a note there that's like, close my mouth, I stay cold. And because it's like, can you be passive aggressive, but like cute at the same time?
It's all context. It's all context. This is a music parody game my mom wrote called Why Haven't You Called? Tanaja, stay in the lead and you are in the final round. Maura, you need more points. Or you have to answer that phone call that you keep getting from that number that has the same first six numbers as your number. And you're like, it's got to be spam, but what if it isn't?
We change the lyrics of songs about the telephone to make them about other forms of communication. Some of these communication methods are unusual, and some of them are even fictional. Ring in to tell me the communication method I'm singing about, and if you get that right, you can earn a bonus point by identifying the original song, title, or artist who made it famous. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need verbal confirmation.
Why not? Yeah.
Here we go. A system made of dots and dashes. Use it when you're in distress. Three dots and three dashes. Three more dots, that's S-O-S. Tanaja.
Hotline bling. Morse code is the method.
You are correct.
And hotline bling is the song.
That's right. You get the bonus point. Well done. Here we go. Throw some grass on the fire. Keep on piling it higher. I'm not building a pyre. I just have things to say. They use this at the Great Wall to send a message to all. With these puffs, I make a call. Tell you I'm okay. Maura.
Smoke Signals.
Smoke Signals is correct. Can you name the song?
I gotta like
or
sing
the
a big borrowed steel at first sight and it's real.
Get to the chorus though.
Oh, it's Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yes, it is. Call Me Maybe. That's right.
Yeah. If I hadn't gotten that, they like never would have let me back in another gay bar.
Here's your next one. I'm thinking real hard, trying to hear you through the raw power of my mind. Some say it's nonsense, I call it the sixth sense. Now all our thoughts are intertwined. Maura.
Telepathy?
Yes. Or telepathy?
You know what? I'm sorry.
I just don't want somebody to write us a letter. Yeah. I have to, if that, you know.
And then, I'm from a payphone. That's Maroon 5?
Yeah, it is. It's called payphone. That's right. This pick won't stay. It goes away. So there will be no record of the things I say.
a flower crown, a sad-faced frown. I can't decide which filter I should overlay.
Tanaja.
Ooh, I feel like it's like an Instagram post. Filter overlaying a photo. Like,
I need a specific, decisive answer from you.
I'm just going to go with, like, a photo, a photography, maybe.
We're looking for something more specific. Maura, do you know what it is?
I would like to thank every 22-year-old I work with. Snapchat!
Snapchat is correct.
Well, hopefully you won't get the bonus point.
I was talking about the picture disappearing. That's
the disappearing,
why I was specific.
Okay.
Yeah. For a bonus point, Maura, can you name the song or artist?
I definitely, like, know that tune, mm-hmm. and it sounds familiar.
Great.
Billy Joel.
It was Stevie Wonder.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
The other Billy Joel. The
That's called I Just Called to Say I Love You. Okay, we're almost there, everybody. There goes, you see, and I'm wondering if with this thing they'll finally talk to me. Let our fingers guide the way. They say spirits move the planchette, but I just think that's Maura.
It's a Ouija board?
It is a Ouija board. You're correct.
And it's Adele.
It is Adele. Hello. That's right.
Little tidbit. According to Smithsonian Magazine, the original investors of the Ouija board said that they came up with the name by asking the Ouija board
what its name was.
What it would like to be called.
No wonder it's such a weird...
Yeah. Doesn't make,
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's what the spirits wanted. Amazing game. Well done, ladies. And after two games, Maura, you came up and you got more points, so Maura is moving to the final round. While Nikki and Maura get ready for the final round, it's time for us to play a game. This is called Fact Bag. I have a bag of trivia questions. Jonathan and I do not know the answers to these questions. Each question is written on an envelope. I'm going to read the question. Jonathan and I will briefly discuss, then we will open up the envelope and find out the real answer.
Okay.
Here we go. In 2014, McDonald's created a new variety of broccoli. What?
Doesn't seem possible.
To include in its kids' meals with a flavor designed to appeal to children. What did it taste like?
I assume the answer is not broccoli.
Yeah. I'm going to assume it tasted like kale? No, that wouldn't be something.
Well, what do kids like? Candy? It didn't taste like candy.
Didn't taste like candy.
That's monstrous. You would never do that.
A new variety
ketchup.
Of ketchup. Yeah, green ketchup. It tasted like a quarter pounder.
Tasted like
a
quarter pounder. Tasted like cheese, macaroni and cheese.
Or with those apple pies. That's what I like at a McDonald's.
Maybe hot dogs. Tasted like hot dogs.
Okay, should we decide on one?
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to say it tasted like an apple.
An
Seriously,
apple.
I'm going
like
to say
that... It tasted more like a fruit than a vegetable.
That's right.
I like that. I like the way that sounds.
Okay, let's see what Fact Bag says. In 2014, this new variety. Okay, it tasted like, the natural flavor for a broccoli, bubble gum.
Oh, come on. That is a terrible idea.
Guess what? Kids, being humans, were too confused during the taste tests, so it was never introduced into McDonald's restaurants.
I don't care for that at all.
I know.
Disgusting.
Fact bag.
Fact bag number two.
Harry Potter fans know the evil wizard Lord Voldemort's real name is Tom Marvolo Riddle. However, in the French version of the books, Voldemort has a different real name. What is it and why was it changed?
His name in France is Monsieur Qu'est-ce qui se passe?
You know what? This is why I'm going to say. In the French version, it has been changed because I bet there's someone in France known as Tom Marvolo Riddle.
Or it could be a dirty word of some kind.
Tom Marvolo. Qu'est-ce qui se passe indeed?
Marvolo Riddle.
Don't come to me with your Marvolo. Okay, yeah? You think it's a dirty thing?
I think it's a dirty thing. Listen, we're not going to guess what the new one is.
We're never going to guess what the new one is. There's no way. I'm going to say he's a real person.
Okay.
You're going to say?
I'm going to say it's a dirty word of some kind.
Some sort of dirty
or
thing?
Or an unfortunate word.
It like refers to something that is unsavory or unfortunate.
You don't want a character
filthy.
Name that.
All right, let's find out what's
back
going
hair.
On. Tom Marvolo Riddle is an anagram of I am Lord Voldemort.
Ah.
This anagram only works in English. In French, I am Lord Voldemort is translated to Je suis Voldemort. So the anagram was changed to Tom Elvis Jedusor.
I feel like they phoned that last part in a little bit.
All right, this is our last fact bag.
Last fact bag.
In 1996, Australian scientists discovered that koalas are similar to humans in what way that might confuse crime scene investigators? It's got to be fingerprints. It's got to be fingerprints. Wait a second, that can't be right.
They are serial killers.
Right, that would confuse them.
I think you are right. I think that they have fingerprints that are similar to people.
Like,
and so when you're at a crime scene, you're like, well, it's reasonable doubt. You go, Your Honor, these could easily be koala prints.
It's got to be fingerprints.
They've got fingerprints, yeah.
All right, let's see if we're right. Koalas, crime. Yep, we were right. They have human-like fingerprints. And here's the mysterious little extra bit. It is unclear why koalas have fingerprints, since most tree-climbing animals do not.
Could the answer be murder?
All right, the fact bag is now empty. Thank you, fact bag. Give it up for fact bag. It's now time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalists, Nikki Palumbo, who writes dad jokes for Google Assistant, and Maura Foley, whose hydration point is 75. Nikki, Maura, your final round is called Alphabet Soup. Every answer is a letter of the alphabet, so if you get stumped, you have a 1 in 26 chance of guessing the answer. Our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Rose Byrne. We rolled a 20-sided die backstage, and Maura is going first. Here we go. Maura, this MPAA rating requires children under 17 to be accompanied by an adult.
R.
That is correct. Nikki, this negative blood type was long considered the universal donor.
O.
That is correct. Maura, this Kendrick Lamar single won him a Grammy for Best Rap Performance and Best Rap Song in 2014.
Why?
Good guess, but I'm sorry, that is incorrect. The answer is I. Nikki, this character is the fictional head of MI6 in the James Bond books and films.
M.
That is correct. Maura, Brad Pitt starred in this movie adaptation of the Max Brooks novel, World War This.
Z.
That is correct. Nikki, in Nathaniel Hawthorne's The Scarlet Letter, this is the titular letter.
A.
That is correct. Maura, according to Britannica, in Treasure Island, Robert Louis Stevenson introduced the concept of using this symbol on maps to mark buried treasure.
X.
Yeah, that's right. Nikki, this vitamin, also known as ascorbic acid, prevents scurvy.
C.
Yeah, that's right. We're at the halfway point, and Nikki is in the lead, 4-3. Maura, this is the title of the New York Times Style magazine.
T.
That is correct. Nikki, it's the nickname of Chicago's rapid transit system.
L.
That's right. Maura, on HBO's True Blood, highly coveted vampire blood is known as this for short.
V?
Yes. Well done. Nikki, this is the only letter that does not appear in the name of any U.S. state.
Z?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. We were looking for Q. Maura, the logistic curve used in mathematical models of growth processes is also called this type of curve after the shape it resembles.
S?
That is correct. Nikki, on the periodic table, potassium is represented by this symbol.
K.
Yeah, that's right. All right, the score is tied. We have one last question for each of you. Maura, Josh Brolin stars as a U.S. president in this 2008 Oliver Stone biopic.
W.
That is correct. Extra point for that impersonation. Nikki, this post-apocalyptic comic book series by Brian K. Vaughan is subtitled The Last Man.
I don't know.
You have to answer this to stay in the game.
J.
Good guess. We were looking for Y. Well done. You were great. Both fantastic competitors. And Maura, congratulations. You are our big winner. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Andrew Kane, Carol Lee, and senior writers Eric Feinstein and Greg Lightman, with additional material by Emily Winter and Shantira Jackson. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. Ask Me Another's produced by Sylvie Douglas, Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Denny Shin, and Ramel Wood, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Rick Kwan, and David Hurtgen. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, The Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
And our production partner, WNYC. I'm Harriet Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hello, Nashville. We heard you love trivia, so this spring, we're coming back to Music City. Join us on May 23rd at TPAC's Polk Theater for an evening of puzzles, word games, music parodies, and a very special guest. Tickets and more information at amatickets.org. This is NPR. Next time on Ask Me Another, you're in for a double feature. From Netflix's She's Gotta Have It, we'll have actor DeWanda Wise. And we'll also be joined by the one and only actor Taye Diggs, plus a music parody game with tunes from The Carpenters. So join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.